Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Back in on the drive, we just did an exercise as a family comparing the talent between the Chiefs and the Chargers. Text line's making a good point. The Pepper Jack's Grill, famous Philly text line about Chiefs special teams. No, the Chargers special teams has been bad, and it was bad last season. Biggest reason why they missed the playoffs last season. Biggest reason why. That's something they certainly have to shore up, and I would give the Chiefs in the advantage. I think it's pretty close between the two. I'm giving the Chargers the slight edge because I think the offense is closer than people are giving it credit, and I understand the optimism about the Chiefs' offense. I'm not going to throw any water on that, but the defense ain't close. Like, it's not even kind of close between the Chargers' defense and the Chiefs'. Chargers defense is much better on paper than the
this
Chiefs.
This set off a firestorm yesterday, the whole Hall of Fame. Is he, could he be, maybe. I mentioned Eric Berry. I said Travis Kelce's projecting that way. You said Phillip Rivers is a Hall of Famer for sure?
Yes, he will absolutely get into
it. Is he one of the best five quarterbacks of his generation?
After the hits, I will make my Phillip Rivers Hall of Fame argument.
Right, I look forward to it.
It's one of my favorite topics, actually, because okay. I just, you know what? I feel like I am here to educate the masses. And if you don't think Phillip Rivers is a Hall of Famer, you're uninformed. Everybody, if you don't think Rivers is going to
you
Hall
are
of
a
Famer,
man of the people. You're a great guy, Carrington.
You know what? HUD told me it was about the people when I was like 23 years old, and I've never lost sight of
Thank
that.
Thank goodness you're back from Vegas, man. this city needs you.
Needs me. They need me.
Need.
They need the information I'm going to provide to tell you why Phillip Rivers is a Hall of Famer. Let's get to it, Spec.
These are the biggest stories of the day in Kansas City.
I have been waiting for that moment all my life.
We talk about them every day at 5 o'clock.
The hits. Number one.
The hits are brought to you by the Broadway Deli, a mostly Jewish deli in a mostly not Jewish city, now open in the Crossroads and is the official deli of 610 Sports Radio. Every day at 3:30, leading up to the first training camp practice. We started this yesterday.
So
10
very
shows
enthusiastic
out.
Read.
Thank you.
When he said radio, I was sure he was going, Ronaldinho.
Ronaldinho! Was he one of the members of the World Cup countries during Pick a Player?
Brazil?
Yeah, very nice.
Yeah,
well
he was.
He's but not Ronaldo.
He plays for Portugal, too, doesn't he?
Ronaldinho's
Ronaldinho.
Yeah, way out of here.
Oh, that's the Brazil guy, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay,
Ronaldo's.
Ronaldo, yeah, that's who I meant.
Just made $74 million a year with
God,
Juventus.
That would be Ronaldo, not Ronaldinho.
Not Ronaldinho. But every
Fair
day,
point.
Leading up to the first practice of training camp, we are now 9 shows away. Today we chose a topic that I don't think has been talked about a lot. The offensive line. Scrolling around Arrowhead Pride earlier today, they have a post up on our friends over at arrowheadpride.com. If you missed Arrowhead Pride Radio last night, check it on the podcast page at 610sports.com. But can this offensive line be the pothole in the Chiefs' course towards the playoffs?
I think the Chiefs' offensive line is solid. I don't think their offensive line is great. I'm a big believer when it comes to offensive line, if you are the casual fan, even if you're the hardcore fan, but you maybe you're not trained enough to really break down offensive line play, does your offensive line produce fruits? Last year, the Chiefs' offensive line helped them get a 4,000-yard passer and the leading rusher in the NFL. You got to give the offensive line some credit for that. I know we had our qualms about the offensive line throughout the course of the season and some criticisms, but you got to look at the end of the season, what did they accomplish? And they certainly were a big part of the team. I'm not saying the Chiefs' offensive line is great. I don't think they are a hindrance. I think the offensive line that Russell Wilson has in Seattle, that is a hindrance. I don't think the Chiefs' offensive line hinders them from what they are trying to accomplish this season. You can make the playoffs. You can win a Super Bowl with the offensive line the Chiefs currently have.
When the Royals won the World Series a few years ago, you could argue they had the best back end of the bullpen, not just in the history of the franchise, but in the history of the sport. And the defense was unbelievable, and the lineup was pretty good, and they could run the bases very well. But nobody's going to say that it was a great starting rotation. Here's the thing. Everything else that I just mentioned, they were good at enough other things. They had enough other top-end talent where an average pitching staff was good enough. So, Spec, I would say the same thing. Do I think this offensive line is great? No. If I was to rank them, I'd put them right in the middle. I'd say they're probably about halfway home. They're probably the 15th best offensive line in football, which is good enough as long as you have as much talent as this team has on the offensive side of the ball. Because given the option, would I rather have a team that has, I think it was Priest Holmes and maybe like, who was a quarterback? Trent Green for those great 1990s, early 2000s Kansas City Chiefs offensive line teams that had Brian Waters and Riley Roaf and John Tate and all those guys. How far did they get? How far has any team ever gotten based on having a great offensive line? It's all about your skill set players. So given the choice, I would rather have an average offensive line and really good skill set players than a great offensive line.
Number two.
And if you missed any of that full conversation about the Chiefs offensive line, it's up at 610sports.com. It's on our Twitter account, at 610sportsKC. And it's on our Facebook page, facebook.com/610sports. So no reason not to listen to our full conversation on the Chiefs offensive line.
Carrington, they're the only team in the NFL, Spec, that has a doctor on their offensive line. I don't know what that means. I'm just saying.
Someone on the text line.
It's when Mitch Morse or Eric Fisher go down with an injury, which they will. Ron Duvernay-Tardif.
He'll be right
help,
there.
Help diagnose.
Someone on the text line, on the Pepper Jacks Grill Finance Philly text line, the top story of the day is a blog post about our offensive line. Wow, it's a slow news days in Kansas City. It is July 13th, and your baseball team is 40 games under 500. We can only do so much.
If you would like us to talk about Heath Philmeyer.
We can only do so much.
Or Eddie Romero.
Wally, what was his name, Sparkman?
Could be talking Benji. About LeBron.
Wally.
The people won't let us talk about LeBron. Lonzo's about to undergo hip surgery on Tuesday.
You happy now? Lonzo's getting knee surgery. He ain't getting traded.
I'm okay with it, honestly, if I'm being honest.
I'm with you.
I know I'm
I just
to
want
to
tell
over,
you guys why Rivers is going to the Hall of Fame. That's
I'm
all
supposed
I really
to
care.
Turn a positive, you know, positive mentions for it on a Friday, but if
it's your birthday, isn't
if
it?
Something bad it happens to Lonzo Ball or one of the Ball members, oh. I'm
all right. Let's move on. I don't want to.
LeVar has three balls, man. He's got plenty of them.
That's true. Today we opened the show a little bit differently. Carrington went in the Wayback Machine.
Down the left field line. Is it enough? Gone. There it is. 62. Touch first, Mark. You are the new single season home run king.
The 2-1. Swap on. There she goes. Number 62. Move over, Big Mac. You got company.
There's a high drive deep in the right center field to the big part of the ballpark. Number 71. And what a shot over the 421-foot marker. The deepest part of any ballpark in the National League. And Barry Bonds is now the home run king. Number 71. And it was impressive.
And Carrington is just trying to make baseball great again. Those are your words, not mine. Will it ever be possible to make baseball great again? And the home run as cool as it was when you were a kid?
I don't know. I just bring this up because Albert Pujols yesterday hit his 630th home run to go to sixth all-time in home runs. And he is 30 behind Willie Mays. And no one cares. It's not a big deal. They're not talking about it on MLB Network. They're not talking about it on ESPN. None of you care about this stuff anymore. And it just saddens me because back in my day, back when I was a child, home runs mattered. Home runs were important. Home runs were something that you tracked. No one cares about them anymore, and that makes me sad.
It's hard to believe that it's been 20 years since the home run chase, 98, Sosa and McGuire. Spec, if I stall long enough, you think you can find that Sosa audio from earlier in the week? Because that's just radio gold. Here's the problem, man. Barry Bonds completely screwed this thing up. Yeah, taking steroids was
don't
bad.
Don't just blame Barry.
Yeah, being a bad dude was bad.
Mark's
here's the big
in
problem.
That. Sammy Sosa's in
but
that.
He's the
Rafael
one.
Rafael Palmeiro
no
is
question
in
about
that.
It, but he's the one who has the record, so he's the one who has to deal with the backlash. And the fact that he hit 73. Look, if the record was 68, maybe last year when Giancarlo Stanton finished with 59, we could at least still have that conversation. If it was 65, if it was 63, it's 73. There's no way that a human not on steroids is ever going to catch that number. The only guys that have ever done it, as we mentioned, McGuire, Sosa, and Bonds. Oh, speaking of Sammy Sosa, here's what that guy sounded like earlier this week on E60.
Did you use any performance-enhancing drugs at any time in your career?
I never had a test positive in this country.
That's not the same thing, Sam.
No, it is.
No.
It is.
Testing.
It is.
No, I'm just asking you.
I never test positive, so.
Well, according to the New York Times, you did test positive.
A lot of people did.
Are you saying that
No.
The Times is wrong?
No, that Times is wrong. But a lot of people got out in that, in that paper. But
that's true. 104 names.
Exactly.
In 2009, the New York Times reported that 104 players, including you, had tested positive in 2003 when it was supposed to be anonymous. You've already said you didn't test positive. Did you use performance-enhancing drugs?
No, my friend.
Never.
I never miss any test, in the major league level.
There's a difference between not testing positive and not doing it. And you're saying you didn't do it?
Once again, I never text any, positive.
I feel like I need a shower. Don't you feel dirty after hearing that?
I actually applaud it.
You applaud it. I would applaud if he said.
I thought it was great.
Like the third time that he was pressed by Shapp.
How do you know I was cheating? Did you find me cheating? You didn't see me cheating. You might have heard I cheated, but you didn't catch me. That's everything you're talking about hearsay.
Here's what I would have respect for.
I appreciate that.
These guys, I don't mind them lying. We've all told lies, but even if they kept lying and lying and lying, I would have loved this. He lies the first time. Shapp's like, but Sammy, he lies the second time. By the third time, he just throws his hands up. He's like, all right, you got me. I cheated. I put a steroid in my butt. That's why, a needle in my butt. That's why I was able to hit 60-plus home runs. But none of these guys have the humility for it. They're able to keep the money in their bank account. Not only do they ruin their own health going forward, but more importantly, as baseball fans, they ruin the baseball record book. That's why the home run doesn't matter anymore.
I just can't get over the audio. That's the first time I heard that. Goodness gracious,
I mean,
Sammy.
Can't you just answer a question directly? The worst type of liar is when everybody knows that you're lying to them. Like, remember in high school, Sammy, I'm sure that you lied to your parents and you knew you were lying. They knew you were lying.
They knew, yeah.
That's what's going on.
Sammy Sosa looked like Marcus Peters with a running back barreling down. Like, yo, I don't want any part of that. I don't want no part. I'll guide you toward the sideline, but I'm tackling? No, I'm good.
He sounded like Marcus Peters, but did you see him? Because he actually looks a little more like Michael Jackson. Do you remember?
I'm not getting into that.
All right, I did.
Okay, so this is the last time I want to talk about this. Because...
No, it's not.
This is the last time I want to talk about it because I just want this to be the forever piece. I might get fired.
See ya.
I just want this piece of audio to stand for the test of time. This is why Philip Rivers is going to go into the Hall of Fame. We're not going to spend too much time on that, but we're talking on the text line about the Chiefs and the Chargers and why I'm picking the Chargers over the Chiefs. You said, how can you be so sure that Philip Rivers is getting in, but you don't think that Eric Berry's going to
the Hall of Fame? Yeah, day after I said I think Eric Berry's going to end up in the Hall of Fame and maybe Travis Kelce, and I even said Jamal Charles, we shot that down. We had a whole argument, but then you just casually say Philip Rivers is a Hall of Famer, and I say, not so fast, my friend.
Okay, so this is going to be my forever case of why Philip Rivers is 100% getting into the Hall of Fame. Passing yards, very important statistic for a quarterback, wouldn't we all agree?
I agree.
These are the only quarterbacks in the history of the NFL with more passing yards than Philip Rivers. Peyton Manning, Brett Favre, Drew Brees, Tom Brady, Dan Marino, Eli Manning, John Elway, Ben Roethlisberger. That's it. In the history of the NFL, Philip Rivers, by the time he is done playing football, really by like week 5 of the NFL season, will have more passing yards than John Elway. Philip Rivers, by the time he is done, will be, numbers-wise, he will be 7th all-time when it comes to passing yards in the NFL.
Do we put you in the Hall of Fame for longevity? Andy Reid has more wins than Bill Parcells. He's not in.
I got more. I mean, Andy Reid hasn't retired it either. I'll go to passing completions. We agree? Very important statistics. These are the quarterbacks in the history of the NFL who have more pass completions than Philip Rivers. Brett Favre, Drew Brees, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Dan Marino, Eli Manning, that's it. 6 in the history of the NFL. Let's go to passing touchdowns.
Did you say Eli Manning has more?
Eli Manning has...
Does that mean he gets in? 2 Super Bowls, more passing yards?
Eli is absolutely getting in.
Eli Manning's a lock for the Hall of Fame.
Oh, a bona fide lock. Yeah, bona fide lock for the Hall of Fame.
Okay.
Passing touchdowns. These are the only quarterbacks in the NFL that have more passing touchdowns than Philip Rivers. Peyton Manning, Brett Favre, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Dan Marino. That's it. 5 in the history of the NFL. Now, postseason success is certainly a measure of how some people get into the Hall of Fame. It's also longevity, and it's also stats. You can't argue the numbers of Phillip Rivers. I just gave them to you.
Can I tell you passing why you're crazy? Yards, just let me know when you're done. Can I tell you why you're crazy?
And so, and my comparison would be very similar to running backs. Once you reach a certain level at running back, they put you in there. A guy like Curtis Martin. I don't think Curtis Martin is an all-time great running back. I can think of, off the top of my head, 10 running backs that I think are better than Curtis Martin. He's fourth all-time in rushing. That gets you in. Jerome Bettis, same argument. Jerome Bettis, I don't consider an all-time great running back. Was really good, but he was really consistent for a long period of time. He stayed relatively
healthy. He's in the hall.
He put up a lot of numbers. He got in. So at running back, literally, the top 16 rushers in the history of the NFL that are no longer active are in the Hall of Fame. Emmitt Smith, Walter Payton, Barry Sanders, Curtis Martin, LaDainian Tomlinson, Jerome Bettis, Eric Dickerson, Tony Dorsett, Jim Brown, Marshall Faulk, Edgerrin James, not in, but not eligible yet. Or he's about to be eligible. Marcus Allen, Franco Harris, Thurman Thomas. If you reach a certain plateau of what you accomplish in your career, they just put you in. Phillip Rivers has reached that threshold. If you're going to finish your career top 10 in passing yards, top 10 in passing completions, and possibly top 5 in passing touchdowns, they are putting you in the Hall of Fame. Not first ballot, but Phillip Rivers will 100% get into the Hall of Fame.
Hasn't the edge been out of the league long enough? How long has he been out?
Yeah,
it's been like six or seven years. And you mentioned Curtis Martin. I'm not sure that he's in there, but I get your point. Yeah, I get your point. The best running backs are in. Now, here's why there's no way that Phillip Rivers is getting in. We would agree that you have to be elite for a substantial period of time to get in the Hall of Fame. It's not the Hall of Good. It's not the Hall of Great. It's the Hall of the Best. The guys that were the best at their position for a given period of time. Because yesterday when I brought up Eric Berry, you brought up names like Ed Reed and Troy Polamalu. Literally the guys, and those guys played a little bit before Eric Berry, but same generation, the guys that played the position the best. Those guys are surefire Hall of Famers. Let me name some guys that played the position the same era of Phillip Rivers. Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, Ben Roethlisberger, you say Eli's a lock, Russell Wilson, maybe even Tony Romo. That's eight.
Romo's not getting in.
Then fine. I'm not going to argue that
one. Romo's not getting in.
Wouldn't you agree that behind, pretty significantly behind all of those guys is Phillip Rivers, which would make him the eighth best quarterback of his generation? Do we let the eighth best player of a generation in the Hall of Fame? I say no. I say he belongs in the Hall of Very Good. I say that he belongs in the Chargers Ring of Honor. But I don't think he's a Hall of Famer.
I think the big difference, though, is this is the greatest era I think we've ever seen for quarterbacks, just with how many of them.
It's the most offensive era, too.
And
the game has changed.
How many of those guys did you just name again? You named seven of them?
Yeah.
Five are first ballot Hall of Famers.
Sure.
I'm not arguing that Phillip Rivers is a first ballot Hall of Famer. I don't believe that. I don't think Eli's going to get in on the first ballot. I think Eli will get in the first three times he has a chance to do it. Those first five guys you named, I mean, you can make a case that three of them are 10 of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. Brady, certainly top 10.
Yeah, Brady, Manning, Brees, Rodgers.
Manning, Rodgers, I think, is a top 10 quarterback all time. I don't know if I'd have Brees top 10 all time. He's like top 15. I'd probably have Roethlisberger. So Phillip Rivers played in the era with five of the 15 greatest quarterbacks of all time. I don't think Rivers is in that category. I just think he's in that next tier. That I think, like anything, there are tiers of Hall of Famers. There's your guys like Randy Moss that are just undeniable Hall of Famers. And then there's guys like Chris Carter, who was a really good wide receiver for a long period of time, but not Randy Moss, not Jerry Rice. That's where I think Phillip Rivers is. I don't think Phillip Rivers is Tom Brady, obviously. I don't think he's Peyton Manning, obviously. I don't think he's Drew Brees. He's in that next tier that's right below it that has been really, really good for a very long period of time. I'm not here arguing Carson Palmer, who's 12th all-time in yards. It's obvious that the numbers are skewed more towards some guys. But Carson Palmer's not going to finish top five in touchdown passes either. He's going to finish 12th. Phillip Rivers is going to finish top five all-time in touchdown passes.
I think that last point gets you in. That you made helps me a little bit. Carson Palmer, 12th all-time in passing yards. It's not about longevity. It's not even about statistics with that position, because you're exactly right. When you talk about the guys with the most touchdown passes, the most completions, the most yards, half of the top 10, half of the top 15 are either playing right now or they're like Peyton Manning, where they've retired the last few years because the game has changed. We had an argument a few weeks ago about who's the best all-time Chief, Derek Thomas or Tony Gonzalez, and we were arguing. I said Derek Thomas because the linebacker position has been around and important since the dawn of day. The tight end position, the pass-catching, scoring tight end, has only been around since Shannon Sharp. So, of course, he's going to be one of the top five or six best. So, when it comes to the quarterback position, I'm not going to award him for longevity. I would award him, like in the case of Eli Manning.
He is going to be rewarded for that, though. You agree? I mean, by the Hall of Fame committee, it's going to be difficult to not allow someone.
I actually don't think he does get it. I would actually take the opposite stance. I think he's going to be on those ballots. Eli's going to get in. Like, if you want to talk about similar stats, similar type players, about a guy that was as good as the other guy throughout his entire career, it's kind of ironic because remember on the day they were drafted, those guys were actually traded for each other, Eli Manning and Phillip Rivers. They've been about the same. The biggest difference is this. One of them has two Super Bowls. The other one has zero memorable postseason moments. That's why Eli gets in. In the case of all those other guys, Brady, Manning, Breeze, Rodgers, Ben, I'll even throw Russell Wilson in there. You're talking about all-time great quarterbacks at their position, locks for the Hall of Fame. He ain't one Phillip Rivers.
No, and again, I'm not arguing that he is a first ballot. The guys that you named, I don't know if Russell's first ballot, but I do think Russell's going to get in because of Super Bowl appearances. There's a difference to me in Hall of Famer. Like, some guys, we agree, like, example in the NFL, or in the NBA, maybe a better example. Like, LeBron, there's not going to be an argument if LeBron's getting in. There is an argument for Tracy McGrady. Like, I could see why if you don't think Tracy McGrady's a Hall of Famer. I think the same thing is going to happen for Phillip Rivers. If you're saying that he's not an all-time on the level of Drew Brees and Peyton Manning, nobody's arguing that. Nobody's arguing that. I just think when you look at the numbers and things that he has accomplished, he's been like Carmelo Anthony.
But he happened to play in the era with those guys, so that's who he's going to be judged against. Yeah, you're right. If Phillip Rivers had these stats back in the 70s, he's going to be a surefire Hall of Famer. Unfortunately for him, he's going to be compared to Brady, the best quarterback of all time, Peyton Manning, who before a few years ago, a lot of people had that conversation.
His numbers are going to be better than
Roethlisberger's. Won three Super Bowls.
Two, but yeah, I mean.
He's been to three, he's won two.
And Roethlisberger's getting in first ballot because of that.
Yeah, absolutely. But that's what makes him the difference.
And Rivers is going to have to wait 3, 4, 5 years to get in. That's the big difference is Roethlisberger's getting in first ballot. We're not going to argue whenever he's up for candidacy. He's going to get in the first ballot.
But to say the difference between.
And Rivers is going to have to wait. But I'm saying as great as Ben Roethlisberger is, and I'm not denying that he's been great, Phillip Rivers' numbers have been better than Ben Roethlisberger over the course of their career. The only people during this era that numbers are definitively better have been Brady, Manning, and Brees. That's it. He's been better than Roethlisberger over the course of their career.
To use your basketball cross-sport analogy, Isaiah Thomas averaged 28.9 points per game 3 years ago. That's more than LeBron James averaged 3 years ago, dude.
For one season, though.
Okay.
For one season.
Again,
Rivers has done it for 15 years. The big difference.
But his numbers are significantly behind seven other quarterbacks of his generation.
His numbers are significantly behind Ben Roethlisberger. He has been a better quarterback than Ben Roethlisberger over the course of their career. Roethlisberger has played on a better team and won championships. It's going to get him in earlier, but he has not been better than
Phillip
Rivers.
No, come on, man.
He hasn't been better. I just read you the numbers. He hasn't been better.
The numbers lie, man. Statistics in sports lie all the time. All the time. That's why Mike Moustakas, a 40 home run hitter, isn't getting paid nearly as much as a bunch of guys that hit 11 and 12 home runs because stats lie. We don't see everything with the numbers. You're crazy if you think that Phillip Rivers throughout his career is a better quarterback than Ben Roethlisberger.
I'm just reading you the numbers. I'm just reading you the numbers because they're unbiased. That's all I try to read you the numbers because you say numbers lie. People are biased and they put their personal feelings in statistics all the time.
When I was 19,
the numbers truly tell a story. It's not like they played in a different era. Phillip Rivers and Ben Roethlisberger played in the exact same era of the NFL. Rivers has had better numbers than Ben Roethlisberger. Now, he's had better postseason success than Roethlisberger has, and that's going to get him in. But you can't argue the numbers in the same era. Rivers has better numbers than Ben Roethlisberger. He's been better than he has.
When I was 19, I lived in Chicago, worked at Wrigley Field, sold peanuts that summer, and my line was, don't be shy, grab your nuts. You're nuts, man. You're nuts. Phillip Rivers, not nearly as good of a career as Ben Roethlisberger. Super Bowls or other.
I wanted to make this point, too, about numbers since we're kind of on this when we're up against the break here very soon. But I think what makes it so hard to project out in the NFL and why I think it's so hard to get into the NFL is a guy like DeMarco Murray. DeMarco Murray a couple years ago was one of the five best, from a number standpoint, running back in the NFL. 2 years later, he's out of the league. So, man, it's really hard to me in the NFL to project what's going to happen in 2020, 2021, 2022. Unless you're like the elite of elite of elite players. Over the last 4 years, I feel like I had a really good idea about Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers. But man, for the most part, people come and go. 4 years ago, Justin Houston was the best defensive player in the NFL, arguably. Now we're kind of looking at him as a guy that can maybe get cut at the end of the season and a guy that is going to struggle to get to double-digit sacks. 2 years ago, man, guys just age really quickly in the league. Think about a guy like Jeremy Maclin. Think about Dwayne Bowe. I mean, half of Kansas City was saying that, man, if Dwayne Bowe gets away from Alex Smith, he's going to be good. Man, he got away from Alex Smith and was instantly out of the NFL. Jeremy Maclin. Chiefs signed Jeremy Maclin to a contract, has one good season, comes back the next year, battles injuries. He's a journeyman. Jeremy Maclin is unsigned, right? Jeremy Maclin is not on an NFL team right now. Things just change so quickly in the league.
And that's even true with the running back position. Like you mentioned, DeMarco Murray. Hell, I was going to draft him on my fantasy team. You tell me he retired today, so I guess I'm not going to do that. But guys taper off all the time, which is why I said yesterday, I think that our expectations should be that Kareem Hunt, maybe he's not going to repeat 1,327 yards on the ground, another 500 receiving out of the backfield. But there's no reason to go, well, you know, it's a second year. We don't know a lot about him. Maybe he's going to have the sophomore slump. At that position, by year two, you've already hit your prime, because oftentimes by year five, you're in the unemployment line.
No, that absolutely is the case. Coming up in 30 minutes, we will answer your questions in Ask Us Anything. We'll talk a little baseball coming up on the other side. I think something really sad is happening in sports. I'll tell you what it is coming up. It's The Drive. Dayton Moore, See You in the Major Leagues, is hosting Crown Town Wiffle Ball Weekend next weekend in Kansas City, July 19th through the 21st. And they want you to play. Join Commissioner George Brett. Dayton Moore will be there. And many of your favorite Kansas City baseball legends for a weekend of wiffle ball at the Urban Youth Academy and The Hollow. We're playing on a team, and it's called Fesco's Fiasco.
Are you playing?
I will be playing. It is the name of our 610 Sports Radio team, and maybe you can play against us. All you got to do, if you want to play against our team, Fesco's Fiasco, which is going to dominate this tournament, because why wouldn't we? The information is on 610sports.com. It is on the website 610sports.com. I want to go back to this really quickly, and then we'll move on. What's the biggest reason you are worried about the offensive line? Because I haven't heard too many people really even having this conversation when it comes to the Chiefs offensive line. The last couple of days, you and I have been talking a lot about kind of getting ready for the football season and what we're excited about and not excited about. You have been the only person that have brought up to me the Chiefs offensive line. And the reason I asked the question is, I think the Chiefs, when we compare it to the other positions on the field, maybe you can say wide receiver is different, but they haven't paid Tyreek Hill yet. They have invested more resources at offensive line than any other position on our position group on the field. They spent the number one overall pick on their left tackle and then gave him a second contract. They went out in free agency and got the best available offensive lineman in right tackle. They spent the second round draft pick on their center in Mitch Morse. They gave a second contract to Larry Duvernay-Tardif.
Doctor.
So you've either spent a first round draft pick on somebody or given a significant amount of money to the other positions. And we'll see what happens with Parker Anger, another guy that you've drafted. In terms of investment on the offensive line, you can't really be more invested than what the Chiefs are doing this season.
I didn't know you get points for investing poorly. Have they invested well? They've invested, but if I invested with Bernie Madoff, that's not a good investment. Okay, and I'm not saying Eric Fisher or Laurent Duvernay-Tardif is Doctor. Bernie Madoff, but let's put it this way.
But, Spector, really quickly, sorry to cut you off, isn't the point of an investment is to get returns on your dividend?
Have they gotten return? Tell me.
They had the best year of Alex Smith's career last season, and they had the leading rusher in the NFL.
And it amounted to what?
I mean, they didn't win.
They didn't win.
No, they didn't win.
Okay, so the return on investment is playoff wins, right? Not for individual accolades, because, yeah, guys will have individual accolades, but what do we care about that as fans?
Well, it's got to be that. You guys say they didn't win. They won the division back-to-back seasons. They have won.
No, he says that. I'm not on that side.
Who cares that they won the division?
Well, that gives you a chance once you get into the postseason tournament. Nobody solved the Patriots trick, man.
We are beaten down in this fan base and this city that winning the division is good enough. No, it's not.
I don't know if let me come in. I'll step in and be the mediator. So I'm on Sports Machine side when it comes to this. I don't think anyone in Kansas City watches the Chiefs and is 100% content. I think the big difference maybe in opinion when it comes to it is, I think the people that are in your camp when it comes to the Chiefs act like they haven't accomplished anything or done anything and talk about them like they're the Cincinnati Bengals.
No,
when they're not. They're better than that.
I don't feel that way, though.
But I'm saying is, I think a lot of people, like, because I see people say all the time, why don't we celebrate mediocrity? You won double-digit games and you won your division. That's not mediocre. You want to know who was mediocre last year? The Bengals. They were really mediocre.
And I can only speak for myself, but I'm not buying a 2017 AFC West Championship shirt.
I understand that.
No, there's no reason
to.
I'll
get an AFC Championship game T-shirt, AFC Championship T-shirt. I'm not buying a Western division. That's like buying a Jayhawk 2014 Big 12 championship t-shirt.
A lot of KU fans get those.
That's not my expectation.
I've got 15 of those t-shirts, and I wear them to mow the lawn. Now, let me tell you a little something.
I don't even know what winning your division is in basketball.
They've been to one AFC championship game in my lifetime. Now, I get it. You don't want to hold your team to low standards. You want to hold them to high standards. Let me tell you something else. In the last 15 years, Tom Brady, Ben Roethlisberger, Peyton Manning are the only quarterbacks to go to the Super Bowl in the AFC, not named Joe Flacco. Somehow, some way, that happened one time. So to say that the Chiefs are the exception to the rule and they should expect more than winning double-digit games and going to the postseason, nobody else does that in the AFC.
That doesn't mean they can't win a playoff game against the Tennessee Titans.
Well, they could have and should have. They've been in positions. They've been in a position to win playoff games.
38-10 lead over the Colts. I didn't ask them to beat Tom Brady.
He did kind of poo-poo losing at home to the Tennessee Titans.
But they got there and they had the lead. No, they got there and they had the lead in both games.
Who cares if they had the lead in the first half?
It's better than not being there. Were you here when Romeo Crennel was the coach?
No, I was not.
Okay.
But see, though, really quickly, though, Speck, this is where I'm on your side here. I'll play mediator in this people's court is. See, like, that mentality, I think, has set Chiefs fans back. Man, it's better than it was when Romeo Crennel.
It couldn't have been worse. They had a guy shoot himself in the parking lot under Romeo.
But how is it considered not winning or good when you win the division back-to-back years, five straight double-digit winning seasons under Andy Reid? How is that not winning? It's not winning the Super Bowl. It's not winning in the postseason. But, man, there are a lot of teams. As a matter of fact, three-fourths of the teams in the NFL would kill to be where the Chiefs have been the last 5 years. And their fan bases would, too.
I think the big difference is, and I think you can admit this, and, Speck, I'll throw it back to you, is – I think we all agree. I'm not really one for power rankings. They're fun, but I don't really think they have much value. I follow the tier system in the NFL. I think there are tiers. I think there is a tier A. Of every year, we consider these teams to be Super Bowl contenders.
Patriots, who's tier B?
No, but I would say like Green Bay. Every year, we think Green Bay can win the Super Bowl. Like no one laughs at you if you said, you know what, I'm picking Green Bay to win the Super Bowl this year. I would laugh at you if you said Tampa Bay was winning the Super Bowl this year. I would think you're crazy and you don't watch the NFL.
Patriots had their own tier considering how dominant they've been.
So that's fine. So if you want to put the Patriots in their own tier, I won't argue that. All right, so in tier B, we would agree. That's the Eagles this season. That's the Rams this season. That's a team like the Falcons this season. I think Chiefs fans are unhappy with the fact of they, at no point under Andy Reid, in my opinion, have ever solidly been in the Super Bowl contender.
Were the Eagles a tier one team heading into last year? Were they a tier one team midway through last year? They weren't a tier one team until they had a Super Bowl parade.
I would say they got to that point a little earlier than you, but that's neither here nor there. But I would say at some point, though, the Eagles elevated themselves to a different tier. The Chiefs elevated themselves pretty quickly. From the 2-14 team to the team they are now. They skipped a lot of steps because we would agree. Normally the NFL goes, you go from 2 wins to 6 wins to 9 wins. Then you become what the Chiefs are. The Chiefs went from 2 wins to the team they are right now. And they have been that same team for the last 5 seasons.
But I've seen 5 or 6 Chiefs teams that I think had every bit as talent. Hell, I'll say that was every bit as good as last year's Super Bowl winning champion Philadelphia Eagles. The difference is once the Chiefs got to the postseason, they've had some bad luck, some bad breaks. They've played bad games. I'm not going to pretend like they've been successful in the postseason because I'd look even dumber than I already do. But once you get to the postseason, it literally becomes a two or three game crapshoot that the Eagles did. We've seen the Giants. Were the Giants better than the Patriots either one of the two times they won the Super Bowl? No, they
just
were better
that
given. Exactly. So the Chiefs, once they've gotten into the tournament, the postseason tournament, they have not played well. But that's not to say that last year's Eagles team was better than 2 or 3 of the 13-3 Chiefs teams that I've seen.
I agree. But at some point, though, you have to eventually break through. Like we use the argument, you're a KU fan, that this KU team that went to the Final Four was not as good as the Frank Mason and Josh Jackson team, wasn't as good as the Marcus Morris and Markieff Morris team that lost to VCU. But at some point, though, you don't get measured by the teams that we think should have done something. You get measured by the teams that actually do something.
That team had Marcus, Markieff, Cole Aldridge, Jeff Withey, and Thomas Robinson as big guys.
That win of the Chiefs, and I'm asking this honestly, I don't have the answer on top of my head. When was the last time you watched a Chiefs team and thought they drastically exceeded expectations? Because the Philadelphia Eagles drastically exceeded your expectations.
2013, they did. They went from 2-14 to starting 9-0, and then I want to say 12-4, maybe 11-5.
I agree. And then that's the point I just made. The Chiefs went from 2 wins to the point they're at in 1 season. They have never elevated themselves past that point over the last 5 seasons. The Eagles elevated themselves to the next level. Eventually, the Seattle Seahawks elevated themselves to the next level. The Packers, when they had Brett Favre, they continued to stay at that level. I think Chiefs fans have grown frustrated with the being stagnant.
Let me go to the other side of the parking lot. Who was a worse franchise from 1985 to 2014?
Maybe nobody.
The Kansas City Royals.
I would guess maybe the Clippers.
Oh, I thought we were comparing the Royals to everybody else in professional sports. I say nobody.
Sorry, Royals and Chiefs. Who was worse from 85 to 2014? Okay. Yeah. We were just happy to be there against Oakland on September 30th, 2014.
Great day.
All of a sudden, they sweep the Angels. All of a sudden, they sweep the Orioles. That wasn't just good enough. In 2015, if they had lost that Game 4 against the Houston Astros, that was not good enough. But for some reason, after that collapse against the Indianapolis Colts in 2014, just making the playoffs has been good enough for, I would say, at least a sizable enough portion of the Chiefs fan base. That's not me, because football is, and this is maybe more down a level on the college level, but it's about building a program. 2 wins to 11 wins or whatever it was in 2013 was a hell of an accomplishment. Making the playoffs was a hell of an accomplishment. But then it was a first-round loss to the Colts. It was a fake playoff win 2 years later against the Texans. It was losing to the Patriots, and there's no shame in losing to the Patriots in Foxborough. But then it's losing a home game to Pittsburgh, and then it's losing a home game to Tennessee. So while we're climbing that mountaintop, the last 4 years, that's been leveled off. And I don't think that's good enough. And I think a lot of it has to do with the quarterback. That's me. I've been the anti-Alex Smith. And I think we are going to continue that climb with Patrick Mahomes. But I'm tired of AFC West championships being good enough. Just get in the dance. No, this team has not won a championship since 1968.
'69.
They haven't been to another one since 1970. So why is just getting to the playoffs good enough? We should be asking more from this team.
To use your Royals analogy, though, the thing is, it really, first of all, different sports, different eras, different time. But with the Royals and our expectations as a fan base, they were wildly unfair. Just because they overachieved and they got back to and won the World Series doesn't mean that should have been what we thought. Yeah, they got there in 2014, so automatically we said, well, they better at least, at minimum, get back to where they were in 2015. Yeah, they did it. They cashed in. They had the great parade.
That's just how expectations were. Because, I mean, the team I was going to make an example for what Spectre said is the Atlanta Falcons. You remember, Falcons fans were growing very unhappy with Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan, they were a good team with the Falcons. But I just think what happens is, like anything, in a relationship analogy, how many times you've been talking to a girl, it's been going really well, you've been having a really good time, and then she's ready to talk and take it to the next level. I think that's where Chiefs fans are with their team is. It's a really good relationship, but you know there's more out there, and you look at other people and other teams and other fan bases, and you see they have more and you want it. That no one would disagree with you, and I'm on your side for a lot of this stuff. I'm not on Spectre's side for a lot, but I'm on your side. The Chiefs have been a really, really good organization, but we all know there is another level to get to.
How many fan bases do you think would take? So how many fan bases have it better than us as Chiefs fans? Green Bay, Pittsburgh, New England.
Seattle.
You might be able to say like Indianapolis historically, probably Denver. I think we could probably rattle off 10. You know what that means? There's 20 plus fan bases out there that would kill to be in.
Of course. But again, I'm making the point of, the Chiefs have just hit a ceiling. That's literally all I'm arguing. I'm not arguing that they're not better than 15 other teams in the NFL or 16 other teams. That's 100% fact. Like, but we agree, though, there is that next tier of teams that the Chiefs, I would say for most of your lifetime, have not been in that group. The same way you feel about Green Bay going into every season if you're a Green Bay Packer fan for the last 20 years, you felt like your team has a chance to win the Super Bowl. If you're a Seattle Seahawks fan, you know with Russell Wilson, your team has a chance to win the Super Bowl every single year. Do you feel that way about the Chiefs with how good they've been over the last couple of seasons? I'm going to venture out and say it's been very few times you were like, you know what? The Chiefs can legitimately win the Super Bowl this year. That's just the next tier I'm talking about.
This is the whole argument of don't just enjoy the destination, enjoy the journey. You're right. There have been, I'd say, two or three times in my lifetime, maybe I was stupid, young, whatever, had myself convinced that this team actually has a chance to win the Super Bowl. Some of those 13-3 teams, a couple of Trent Green's teams. I never once said, I bet this Eli Manning-led Giants team's going to win the Super Bowl. But in hindsight, they've got two. So I think we just need to enjoy the journey a little bit more than worrying about this Super Bowl destination.
And I think a big difference in the Eli Manning teams is, When was, like, the Chiefs don't very often exceed your expectations. Like, we can point to teams that, oh, I didn't think that team was going to do it, but they went on to do it. That team is never the Chiefs. In baseball, the Royals. Hey, nobody expected the Royals to do this great thing. They went on and did it. The Giants never expected the Giants to do this great thing. They went on and did it. Man, tell me the time that the Chiefs were in that category. Like, man, do you guys remember that season where the Chiefs went out there and we thought they were going to be a 7-9 team and they went 13-3 and went to the AFC Championship game? That season has literally never happened in my entire life. Text in your questions. Text line 69306. It is the segment that you control that will answer all your questions. Ask us anything. Text them in. It's the Drive.
You want answers?
I mean, I think I'm entitled to them.
You want answers?
I want the truth, if we're being honest.
We should have just had Jack Nicholson voice this. It would have been a lot better.
You can't handle the truth.
Go ahead, ask us anything.
I hope you guys had fun on today's show. I certainly had a lot of fun in today's show. Thank you so much for listening to it. Hopefully you enjoyed it. Check out the podcast page, 610sports.com, also available on iTunes. It was a very fun show. You can also download the radio.com app. Some of you have been hitting me up about the TuneIn app. That's what I used to use, but I don't use the TuneIn app anymore because it don't work. So now you got to use the radio.com app.
Make sure you favorite 610.
You got to favorite it. That's key. That's number one. And you can stay up to date with all the dealings over at 610 Sports Radio. This segment is the one that you control. We do it every Friday to end the show. You text in questions, we answer them. It's that simple.
Sports Machine, what, quote, old person things do you do?
Oh, well, you guys know I don't use the computer. I write down my prep by hand.
Mall walk.
In green pen.
I do mall walk. I take laps around the studio before the show starts.
Everybody's got a system, so I don't really fault you.
I smoke Pall Mall cigarettes when I'm drunk. That's about it.
Is that an old person thing? Is Pall Mall old people?
I don't know. My grandpa smoked them.
Okay. With F1 now owned by an American company, what will it take to become more popular in the U.S.?
Soccer? I honestly didn't
no,
hear.
No, Formula One
F1,
racing.
Formula One racing.
Is
it's now owned by an American company.
I don't know nothing about that.
I don't care. It'll
become more popular when I can name one Formula One racer.
Mario Andretti. Is that F1?
Maybe.
Not really watching that racing stuff, you know? It's not really for me.
Are you guys going to the Rivalry Renewed game?
Yeah, I will be there. Of course. Why would I not be there? I'm a Missouri fan.
Going to be amazing.
Why would I not want to see KU get waxed in this game?
I'd say Mario Chalmers.
Waxed.
I think Chalmers drops 30, and I'd say Drew Gooden drops 28 on your guys' head. Kenyon Dueling, the leading scorer for MU with 4.
Who? Drew Gooden. Drew Gooden wouldn't hoop on the big three. What are you talking about? Y'all about to
I would love to see Drew Gooden hoop in the big three.
Buckets. I'm shocked KU hasn't put a team together for him.
Well, they have like, who would be on that big three team? Lester Earl. Like, who's a bunch of KU burnout? Lester Earl. What's my guy's name? Cliff Alexander, Earl. Lester Earl, and.
Where is Cliff Alexander in the world?
He doesn't even
know. What do you think he's doing right now?
He's chilling on an island. I think he's chilling on an island with Josh Hamilton.
Or just one of my really good friends plays basketball overseas. That's who I went to Vegas with. Man, you'd be surprised a lot of those guys. You'd be like, oh, man, where are they at? Oh, they just make $300,000 a year in Europe to play basketball. You'd be surprised how many of those guys we just bring into. Just see, he knew them, play basketball with them. Just that make a lot of money.
My big
overseas.
Three KU team, Kenny Gregory, Lester Earl, and Cliff Alexander.
Text line 69306. CDOT, how much do you hate when there's a country concert at Sprint Center? I love it, actually. I think it's incredible. I don't really like the Hot Country Nights the same because it's just so frequently. But just as someone that lives downtown, oh, my goodness, when it's the country concerts, I'm always walking down to Johnny Taverns to get something to eat. I'm always going to no other pub because they'll be just a people watch.
Let's
you know?
Just say there's going to be some good-looking girls at Arrowhead tomorrow night for Kenny Chesney.
What is your least favorite, household chore?
I mean, if cleaning the bathroom counts, that would be it. I mean, no one really likes to clean the bathroom. I'm not much of a wash dishes guy at all, actually. I don't really mind any other chore but washing the dishes.
I actually enjoy some of them. It's kind of weird. I actually like to vacuum. I actually like to fold my laundry. I'm with you, though. I don't like doing the dishes. When they stack up, I don't mind putting them in the dishwasher. I don't like when you're real lazy and you eat spaghetti and you don't wash it off for a week. I'll just throw that plate away. I don't need that plate that bad.
I mean, if you like cleaning up so much, you can come over to the crib and clean up. I'll throw you a couple bucks.
Carrington, have you bought your Michael Porter Jr. Nuggets jersey yet?
Nah, I'm probably not going to buy a jersey of Michael Porter Jr. I can see myself getting a t-shirt at some point, but I don't think I'm ever going jersey for it, MPJ.
Porter Jr. Teaming up with Isaiah Thomas.
I know, man.
Dynamic duo right there.
Isaiah Thomas is a perfect example of how, man, these teams do not love you. Why are you running back from injury to go to teams that don't love you? All the stuff he did for the Celtics, they traded him the year after his sister died, in which he came back early. He broke his teeth.
He scored 28 points per game that season. Yesterday, he signed for $2 million.
Got him out of here. Got him out of here. Check out the podcast page, 610sports.com. Also available on iTunes. Please do us a favor. If you like the radio show, if you like this radio station, go on your smartphone right now. Go to the App Store. Download the radio.com app. Put it in your favorites. That would make me so happy.
The grass pads high on grass. I had to get that in one
that
more time.
That maybe was the best worst segment get that in one more I've time. Ever done. We're out of here. Back again on Monday. The whole gang's back together. We out. It's The Drive. Thank you for listening.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.